Chapter 8.
The Sublime Wisdom of Lao Tzu. If you have some knowledge of esoteric literature, you will know that it mentions, among other things, the wonderful mystery of the medieval inhabitants of southern France. There, in southern France, in the region called the Sabathes, the home of the Cathars, praised be their name, people possessed a supernatural faculty, the faculty of the consolamentum. By means of the consolamentum, the separation was effected between the animal man and the spiritual man, between the man who is of the earth, earthly, and the original essential being of old. The consolamentum was more than a sacramental seal. It was more than just a magical outpouring of power. It meant, for the Cathars, a final break with dialectical life. That is why those who had received the consolamentum were no longer earthlings in the absolute sense. In the true meaning of the word, they were still in the world, but no longer of the world. Many investigators in this field have wondered which were the spiritual powers behind this southern French medieval movement. Who were the initiated inspirers who brought changes in tens of thousands of people, and against whom the hatred of the old church turned in such a bloody and terrible way? These were cosmopolitans in the best sense, who literally loved the whole of mankind, and who, up to this very day, move about and manifest themselves wherever possible in the world. Their trails lead from east to west and from north to south. They are mentioned throughout world history, and one sees the connection between all the different events and developments caused by them. And yet, from the earliest times up to this very moment, they themselves stay in the background of the mystery. There is a hermetic veil between them and the masses, and all the endeavors of a self-willed science to penetrate into the source of this mystery have met with failure up to this very hour. We are therefore of the opinion that the knowledge, the faculties, and the powers of the Cathars were absolutely universal. Their sources cannot be found on earth, as they are only to be found in the immovable kingdom itself. There are authors who deplore the decline, at least the apparent decline, of the Cathars, and they lament over the loss of their wisdom and power. But this is a purely dialectical sadness, for a power that springs forth out of the universal life itself, such a sublime power of wisdom, cannot be lost. It is nothing less than the breath of God which repeatedly moves over mankind in its loving attempt toward salvation, to withdraw again when the hatred and the bloodthirstiness of the material and mortal ones try to assault it. We cannot help thinking for a while about this European contact of the universal love being when we reflect upon a similar contact of God in the farthest east of our world, viz. A divine contact represented by the sublime Lao Tse. One does not know whether he did live, neither does one know whether he was a man. Numerous legendary veils are spread around him, but it is certain that in his wisdom he would be able to take away. The sadness of the spectators and investigators of the southern French medieval drama. After all, the mystery of the consolamentum can also be designated as the mystery of Tao. Tao does not come, it has not been, Tao is. But, so says Lao Tse, the wise ones in experience who knew Tao were silent about this mystery, well knowing that profane persons turn themselves unto the darkness and convert vital strength into destruction. When certain forces are once awakened in man, and he becomes conscious of his great power without liberating himself from his lower selfishness, then the flame becomes a fire to die out only when all is reduced to cinders. Therefore, one should not disclose the secret to the profane. Does not the naked eye grow blind by too glaring a light? To lead a people means to undertake a glorious task, being a teacher while remaining in the shade oneself. Much is spoken and written of hidden books of the Cathars, in which the universal doctrine and the true life are expressed, but which were destroyed by the priesthood of those days. However, the hidden book of the Cathars is the unwritten book, just like the book of Tao and the book M of Christian Rosicross, and the book closed with the seven seals of the Apocalypse, the revelation of John. This book, this universal knowledge, is unwritten and deeply hidden from the profane. However, it stands in flaming, radiating letters and is open for those who know how to liberate themselves from the lower selfishness. That is why the Cathars spoke of the Endurer before the Consolamentum could be received. The Endurer means the dying according to this nature, the complete liberation from one's own self-effacement, the suicide of the lower nature. But you cannot seek in this direction, we advise you. Do not waste any more time and energy in searching for books and writings of those from whom you expect your redemption. Tao cannot be told nor written down. Tao, the way, the path, can only be experienced. With this simple explanation, the paucity of knowledge and reason, the poverty of the intellectual embrace, and the infatuation of the brain consciousness stand before you in all their nakedness. You can know nothing that is worth knowing. You can possess nothing that is worth possessing, and you can embrace nothing that is worth embracing before and unless you have died according to this nature, before and unless the so very pernicious self-delusion is extinguished in your microcosm. As long as you have not progressed beyond this point, you remain profane, impious, and therefore under tutelage, and you are only staring into the dark reason, and you have nothing, absolutely nothing. All you have is the sadness and the fierce pain of dialectics, which is a fire, a terrible fire, a fire that dies out only when all is reduced to cinders, to be rekindled soon thereafter, again and again. Dialectics is consumption and hellish pain without end, and you must liberate yourself from this by going the path, the way, Tao. You must go through the Endurer, through the self-effacement, the suicide of the lower nature. But you cannot do this alone, and you need not do it alone, for the power to go the path is ever present, and the liberating word is spoken. If you would only leave behind everything you possess, then you would see as Lao Tse did. Hidden power, mystery, eternally undamaged, O clear and quiet well, from whence the life does spring. In our deepest inner being we are attached to you. Out of the Great One the abundance flows uncounted. Is it incomprehensible that many pupils of the spiritual school fail to see the unique true life, the essential thing that matters, although they are looking for it and are hankering after it? This must have a reason, and it can be found only in the fact that many are still holding too tightly to the things of the old life, and moreover, expect the divine revelation to penetrate the innermost part of their earthly being without any process, in order to bring about the unique true life in the microcosm. If you really want to undertake the journey to the new promised land, you must first lift the many heavy anchors that you yourself have struck into the bank of your life. The fact that this is possible is confirmed by the holy language telling you, "He who calls you is near, even nearer than hands and feet." Therefore, he who strides forward on the path of liberation from the lower self casts off his desire as useless ballast, enters, thus naked, the temple of the highest initiation. The porch of the tabernacle is the grave. As a pupil, or as a person interested in esotericism, you can know how to be a Freemason, how you must build the holy cathedral, stone after stone. The holy Mount Salvat is invisible in the material world, but through the grave of the lower nature you can reach it and join all the master builders as a fellow craftsman. Learn, therefore, from Lao Tse about your most fundamental hindrances and the key to Tao. The highest of all knowledge is the admittance that we know nothing, for this knowledge makes mankind still devout. We see in letters more than the illiterates do, but nothing in one letter of the deep mystery of life and death. The true illness of man is not knowing his ignorance, but do not assume now that here in life a pure mystic negative dependence, a mystic negation of ideas, must be used. The point is, says Lao Tse, that material thinking throws up a dam for the true spiritual stream. This is why you must get rid of your material thinking. You must, once and for all, ask yourself what you are actually doing with your material thinking. You will then arrive at the conclusion that with your intellectual way of thinking, you are thinking esoterically, and with the emotional way of thinking of your heart, you are led to think in a mystical way. Herein lies the dam for every spiritual influx. The doctrine of wisdom has surely revealed to you that heart and head form a complete unity. Moreover, as long as man does not recognize that he knows nothing, then partly because of this, the supreme reality remains for him a beautiful dream. No one but himself can cure him of this lack of renewed, conscious life. Whoever recognizes this illness is cured at the same instant. Recognition is the remedy for this obscure disease. One does not touch the essence by way of intellectual thinking any more than by action do we reach sublime ideals. Here again, the brothers and sisters of all ages have such a new idea of reality that it simply could not be understood, their denial of all dialectical activity. These enlightened souls knew of another action than that of dialectical man, quite another idealism, quite another humanity. These enlightened ones only knew the living, vibrating activity of the new reality of life. An activity that appears to the earthly man as a boundless emptiness, as a shapelessness without perspective. Alas, many cut themselves off hermetically, and, seeing but blind, they go their ways. For them, every way goes from the cradle to the grave. Their fate is much more cursed than blessed. Undergoing the curse of life is everybody's consciousness living in the 20th century. But alas, it looks as if the more life becomes a curse, the more one clings to it, and the more one tries to extract from it a desired blessing, but understandably, without any result. The blessing passes by as a ship in a dark night, because the essence of the universal doctrine is not known, and therefore the right action cannot follow. The sage of more than 2,500 years age says, "My doctrine can be put in just one simple sentence. My action strictly adheres to its meaning." Interpreted by man in many ways, it is like clue wound up around a kernel. Do not many people imprison the unique, simple germ of truth, the key of true life, in a clue of sham wisdom and ostentation? But I, says Lao Tse, who knows the path through the labyrinth, do not allow myself to be deceived by wills o' the wisp. I keep the thread which binds me to the core. I look on quietly where others struggle aimlessly. I do not play a role on this world's pompous stage. Therefore, to idle people, I seem to be insignificant. They are all still running after a limited aspect of the all. Mine is the universe. What more should I wish? Here is the essential point: to gain the universe. It may sound somewhat strange to our Western ears, but here the same thing is meant by Christian sanctification, which finds its expression in the magic power of a spirit sanctified in Christ. Holy is derived from the idea of becoming whole. To gain the universe means to become once again whole or holy. The universal doctrine proves to the pupil that his microcosm is no longer whole, but highly mutilated. And in the curse of this mutilation, he is chasing after an insignificant part of a whole, and that is the reason why his curse cannot change into a blessing. That is why he sinks deeper and deeper into the material world. When the pupil stops this useless activity and ignores it, convinced of the fact that the realization of all higher expectations cannot come from his dialectical self, then he builds an invulnerable spiritual armor, and he is able to go the way, the path, Tao, because the self-delusion is killed within him. The microcosm is then restored again to its original state, and the universe is his. Thus we recognize that the message of the modern Rosicross also is, and was, the message given in the darkness of all times, the message of Lao Tse, the message of 2500 years ago. This message will sound until the glorious completion has been reached, until the searcher sees the way before him and speaks to the universal sages, "I want to live according to your great, wise example and to know that I am included in the divine plan of creation." The seeing of the path, the sight of Tao, becomes your possession. As soon as you discover that, as Lao Tse says, you are suffering in the dialectical ego. When you discover within yourself that nothing and no one can cure you from this pain, that nobody can extinguish this fire until you, yourself, say farewell to your own being, then the great lamp of the omniconscious will shine for you, and the pilgrim will be satiated in this divine glittering light, which, as a consolamentum, raises him from the night of his suffering.